You're walking down the old beaten dirt trail, your rifle clutched in your hands as the moonlight shines through the tree line. Looking intently to the ground, you're following a clearly visible trail of blood. Your heart racing as you know you're getting closer and closer to the wounded animal, already imagining how its meat will taste after skinning and cooking it. You look ahead into a clearing and see a small figure hunched over, its hairless body reflecting the moonlight, blood covering its claws. You pull your rifle into your shoulder and take aim at the creature. When it jerks its head around, its giant black eyes staring at you while it bares its fangs, you pull the trigger as you see the creature run into the brush, letting out long pronounced screams, hoarse screams that sound like a dying animal. You search for the creature but never find it. You inspect the hog you have been hunting and find three holes in its neck, its body drained of blood. You've just encountered a chupacabra. Welcome to the Dark Cryptids podcast with your host, Devin Bloodworth. Every episode, we push out something creepy, a scary encounter, paranormal activity, and obviously cryptids. But tonight's episode is actually going to be on the Chupacabra, El Chupacabra, if you want to be exact. As a kid, the Chupacabra has always kind of fascinated me because out of a lot of cryptids, I fully believe that the Chupacabra is one of those cryptids that are more realistic sounding. And I feel like there's definitely actually Chupacabras out there. There's a few cryptids I do where, I'm not judging people for telling their stories or anything like that, but you got to think to yourself, like, this cryptid does not sound realistic. With the Chupacabra, they honestly sound realistic enough to where I fully believe you can find them out there. So tonight we're gonna be talking about the Chupacabra. Now I'm gonna say this straightforward at the beginning of the episode, so you could go ahead and decide to either leave or not. So finding Chupacabra encounters on Reddit, which is where I find all my encounters, I wasn't really having any luck with it. Finding good stories except for one story. And I included that one story in here, and the way this episode is going to go is a little different. The encounter is going to be first, and then the rest of it's going to be pretty much stuff off of Wikipedia, and I'll be kind of breaking stuff down a little bit. But the reason there's only one story in this episode is there's a bunch of stories on Reddit I could find. However, they were either less than a paragraph stories, or they were very badly written. And I would rather have one really good story in here than a bunch of bad stories to kind of fill it in. Instead of bad stories, I would rather kind of tell you some fun facts, talk about it, and stuff like that. And the last thing we'll go ahead and talk to you guys about before we start this next episode here is I'm not sure if you guys could tell, but I'm going for a more relaxed style now when it comes to this podcast. What I mean by that is before everything I said on the episodes were scripted. I don't know if you guys could tell, but I kind of experimented with it a little bit yesterday. And to be honest, I like doing it this way a little better. For the main reason of it feels a little bit more personal. It doesn't feel so serious and scripted. And I feel like I could put like a little bit more emotion into it. But if you guys don't like the way I'm doing it now, I'm not too worried about it, to be honest. I do love and appreciate a lot of you guys, but at the end of the day, this is a podcast I want to have fun with. And for me, doing a scripted one just isn't having fun with it. Everything else is still going to be the same. I'm still going to be reading stories. I'm still going to be doing creepy origin stories and all this other good stuff, but it's going to be a little bit more lighthearted now, not as on script. But thank you for listening to this long intro. Let's go ahead and get with the first story. Chupacabra encounter by Yuzo. Gentleman underscore bastard with an E. I'd like to start this story by providing the bona fides of the man who shared the experience with me. He's a chief warrant officer with 30 years in the Navy and a hunter since he was 12. He's seen the world, been in combat, and spent more time in the woods than I've been alive. What I'm trying to say is, he's a salty motherfucker who doesn't scare easy. Anyways, I met Bill through my father, who was also in the Navy, and got to talking about how I go hunting wild pigs on my uncle's dairy farm just south of Jacksonville, Florida. We generally go out in pairs at night, one person manning a 2 million candlelight spotlight, the other man a shooter. We roam the cornfields until we hear animals rustling around, hit the spotlight, bang bang, rinse and repeat. So one relatively cold January night, we get a group together for some good old hog shooting. Bill and I go out to a field where we saw some fresh tracks earlier in the day and camp out. There was no moon out and a bit cloudy, so it was as dark as you can get in Florida. Perfect conditions to see some pigs. Sure enough, we hear some rustling and grunting, and Bill hits the spotlight, revealing five decent-sized pigs. I raised my Marlin lever action 30-30 and fired at the lead pig, and downed him with a shot behind the ear. One of the better shots I've made, to be honest. Smoke from the muzzle briefly obscures my view, but Bill yells out their location and tracks them with the light. I get off about three blind shots and hope for the best, but they go high. The pigs take off directly away from us and get to the tree line, so Bill and I stand there surveying the scene, ears ringing, adrenaline pumping. We see the down pig, share a fist bump, and laugh and start walking towards it. As soon as we take a step, we hear a scream from behind us, a long, ragged, angry scream. It was loud, and it was close. I freeze and look at Bill, but he's looking back at me with the same look of confusion and fear. I asked him, "What the fuck was that?" He replies, "Fuck." He shines the light behind us, slowly scanning the open field and the trees beyond, and we see nothing. He starts to say something when we hear the scream again, closer, louder, and longer. If you want to know what it sounded like, next time you go to a football game or a concert, you might scream and holler and wind up losing your voice. When you wake up feeling hoarse and raspy, scream as loud as you can for 5 seconds. That's what it sounds like. Bill immediately says, "Give me your pistol. We need to get out of here." I hand him my 45. "What about the pig?" "Fuck the pig." Now, we're about a mile away from the car, on a 1,000-acre dairy farm, with some kind of demon bitching at us at 2 in the morning in the pitch black. We start to panic. What begins as a brisk walk away, carefully scanning in a 360, turns into a steady shuffle, into a light jog, and then into a full-on sprint. I don't remember if there were any more screams, but my adrenaline was turned up to 11, and my focus was on 2 steps ahead of me and not getting left behind. We make it back to the truck without incident and hightail back to my uncle's house. On the ride home, we have a calm discussion about what just happened. "The fucking fuck was that? I don't fucking know. No fucking way that was a hog. It sure as fuck wasn't." To cap it all off, we get back to my uncle's house, and the other guys had heard the shots and were waiting for an update. Standing around a bonfire, to his credit, Bill played it off cool as I had a death grip on my beer, eyes bulging, and seeing monsters in every shadow. "Yeah, we left the pig out there. We'll get it in the morning. Say, Uncle, we heard a pretty noise. It sounded pretty funny." "Oh, did you?" "Yeah, raccoons can make some pretty interesting ones." Pretty sure this wasn't a raccoon. It kind of sounded like a person screaming. Oh, that? Yeah, I've heard it a few times. We don't know what it is, so we call it the chupacabra. And that was that. Been out there many times after, and thank the Lord I've never encountered it again. But I'll be fucked if I don't think about it constantly when I'm out there. Okay, I just want to say this about that story. I like how genuine he is with it, because I kind of feel that on a certain level of constantly saying, fuck this, fuck that, fuck this, fuck that. Because I know if I was put in the exact same situation that he was in, I'd probably be reacting the same way. But what I like about this story is, what I like about lots of stories is it's realistic and it's not over the top. And because it's not over the top and it's realistic, I fully believe that this actually happened to this guy. Yeah, I genuinely believe this happened to this guy. Only on that sole fact right there. Because most people, if they're gonna fake something and tell you a story about it, they're gonna over-exaggerate their part in the story. They're gonna over-exaggerate the story itself to make it more interesting, or I don't know. It's just, you could tell when someone's not telling a genuine story. This felt like a genuine story. But what we're gonna actually move on to next, since this was our only encounter for this episode, if the people that was here just for an encounter want to go ahead and head out, that's pretty much your cue right there. But if you want to stick around with me and as I read off these articles and give out some fun facts, then that'd be great. But let's get right into it. Keep in mind, all these articles come from Wikipedia. A 5-year investigation by Benjamin Radford, documented in his 2011 book, Tracking the Chupacabra, concluded that the description given by the original eyewitness in Puerto Rico, Madeline Tolentino, was based on a creature seal in a 1995 science fiction horror film, Species. The alien creature seal is nearly identical to Tolentino's Chupacabra eyewitness account, and she had seen the movie before her report. It was a creature that looked like the Chupacabra, with spines on its back and all. The resemblance to the Chupacabra was really impressive, Tolentino reported. Radford revealed that Tolentino believed that the creatures and events she saw in Species were happening in reality in Puerto Rico at the time, and therefore concludes that the most important Chupacabra description cannot be trusted. This, Radford believes, seriously undermines the credibility of the Chupacabra as a real animal. In addition, the reports of blood sucking by the Chupacabra were never confirmed by a necropsy. Only way to conclude that the animal was drained of blood, an analysis of a veterinarian of 300 reported victims of the Chupacabra, found that they had not been bled dry. Radford divided the Chupacabra reports into two categories: reports from Puerto Rico and Latin America, where animals were attacked and it is supposed their blood was extracted, and the reports in the United States of mammals, mostly dogs and coyotes with mange, that people call chupacabra due to their unusual appearance. In late October 2010, University of Michigan biologist Barry O'Connor concluded that all the chupacabra reports in the United States were simply coyotes infected with the parasite Psychoptes scabies, whose symptoms would explain most of the features of the chupacabra. They would be left with little fur, thickened skin, and a rank odor. O'Connor theorized that the attacks on goats occurred because these animals are greatly weakened, so they're going to have a hard time hunting. So they may be forced into attacking livestock because it's easier than running down a rabbit or a deer. Although several witnesses came to the conclusion that the attacks could not be the work of dogs or coyotes because they had not eaten the victim, This conclusion is incorrect. Both dogs and coyotes can kill and not consume the prey, either because they are inexperienced or due to the injury or difficulty in killing the prey. The prey can survive the attack and die afterwards from internal bleeding or circulatory shock. The presence of two holes in the neck corresponding with the canine teeth are to be expected, since this is the only way that most land carnivores have to catch their prey. There are reports of stray Mexican hairless dogs being mistaken for chupacabras. So the reason I kind of wanted to read this off is it gives a little bit of the origin story, how it originally started in Puerto Rico in 1995. But what I like about this article is, yes, I believe in the chupacabra, I fully do. I like articles like these because you kind of get both sides of it. This article pretty much explains like every single reason why the chupacabra isn't real. And I like to have the other side to it. And they make very good points. You have to keep in mind that when you're dealing with coyotes infected with a parasite, a disease, anything, their brain isn't running the way it normally is. So it is fully possible, even an experienced hunter coyote, to bite an animal in the neck and then, because it's not right in the head, just running off. And then the animal dies on later. And I've actually looked up some pictures of dogs and animals with mange. Now, I'm not gonna lie, they look pretty raggedy. They look, pretty freaky. During the day, you could pretty much tell it's a dog right off the rip. But at night, if I saw one of those things, I would be freaked out. I'm not gonna lie. So I think that is one of the reasons we get so many chupacabra reports all over the world, pretty much, because the dogs with mange or coyotes with mange, or I'm not sure about this one, but I'm pretty sure wolves can get mange as well. So, like I said, if you got time, look up dogs with mange or coyotes with mange, and I promise you, you will be surprised whenever you see it. Right. The most common description of chupacabra is that of a reptile-like creature, said to have leathery or scaly greenish-gray skin and sharp spines or quills running down its back. It is said to be approximately 3 to 4 feet tall and stands and hops in a fashion similar to that of a kangaroo. Another common description of chupacabra is of a strange breed of wild dog. This form is mostly hairless and has a pronounced spinal ridge, unusually pronounced eye sockets, fangs, and claws. Unlike conventional predators, the chupacabra is said to drain all of the animal's blood and sometimes organs, usually through three holes in the shape of a downwards pointing triangle, but sometimes through only one or two holes. So I want to touch up on this. I forgot where I read it, but I don't think it was Wikipedia. The very origin story of the chupacabra. Back in the 1990s, when lots of people were reporting it, back then the reports was that it was a lizard-like creature. Basically, have you ever looked at a lizard and seen its eyes? How they're pretty much, you know what I'm talking about, how lizard eyes look, snake eyes look. It's said that that's what the chupacabra's eyes would look like. Very large and reptilian-like, and its skin was also reptile skin. So over time that kind of changed, and the reason I think the description changed isn't because the chupacabra changed. I think people just wanted a good story. In my full opinion, I believe that the chupacabra is real, but I believe at a certain point in time a lot of people started lying about, well, saying that it looked like a hairless dog because people were encountering dogs with mange, coyotes with mange, And they couldn't think of anything else that it could have been. But I fully believe that the first description of Chupacabra, having leathery and greenish gray skin, I believe that's the best description of it. But we're going to take a quick ad break here. The ad break takes about 30 seconds to a minute. I try to keep them very short. So thank you for listening, and we'll be right back. All right, so we are back. Thank you everyone for bearing with me through that ad break. I would just like to reiterate that these ad breaks help me grow to podcast, buy a little bit better equipment. I haven't bought any new equipment yet. First thing on my list is buying a better mic. But thank you guys for bearing through that with me. Believe it or not, those 30 seconds to a minute really does help me out. But next up, we're gonna read some fun facts about a chupacabra I could find. Now, these aren't going to be on Wikipedia. These are mostly going to be kind of, I just found them on the internet and thought they were interesting. But it's only four facts. But keep in mind, this is more about quality control as well. I could find about 30 facts. But you got to keep in mind about 25 to 28 of them were fun facts based off of what we just read in the story. I mean, not the story, the articles we just read. So I didn't feel a need to put them in the little fun fact area of this unless we haven't talked about it too much already. But the first fun fact, the legend of the Chupacabra began in 1987 when Puerto Rican newspapers reported mass deaths in a local livestock population. Animals were drained of their blood through circular incisions in their flesh. Soon afterward, the deaths spread through Central and South America. So, Chupacabra sightings began as early as 1987, which is about, it's 2021, 42 years ago. I might be completely butchering that. 13 plus 21. Oh, 33 years ago. I'm sorry. My math is not very great. Actually, it's 34 years ago. My math is not great, but I'm not on here to talk about math. But let's go on to the next one. Upon hearing of the attacks, Puerto Rican comedian Silverio Perez dubbed the creatures chupacabras, Spanish for goat suckers. So, if you didn't know that, you know that now. I knew lots of things about chupacabras, but I actually didn't know this about them. Apparently, their name came from a comedian just doing a skit on what he called chupacabras. So, that's actually pretty cool. In 1995, 69 chickens, goats, and ducks were killed in Florida. The manner of their deaths suggested a chupacabra attack. All right, so Florida. I currently live in Florida. I want to say this because 69 deaths that appear to be chupacabra attacks between a chicken, goat, and duck is very rare because I want you to keep in mind, goats are not native to Florida, so most of the time, if you have goats, it's for livestock, not necessarily to kill, but like get their milk, petting zoo, stuff like that. So, if chupacabras are killing goats in Florida, that means that the goats are owned by somebody, they're on someone's property. They're not just wild goats that are dying. When it comes to ducks, yes, we Floridians hunt ducks, however. It's very rare that you'll see people in Florida hunting duck. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very rare that you hear someone saying, "Yeah, I'm going out to go shoot some ducks." And then for the chickens aren't really. Whenever you imagine Florida, you don't imagine it being filled with chickens. But we don't really have any wild chickens out here in Florida. We have some wild turkey sometimes. But not really wild chickens. So all three of those animals are pretty much domesticated animals. or they're not hunted very much, so it's definitely very odd that such a high number of them would die. And it was suggested to be a chupacabra attack, so you would assume that all 69 of those animals had the puncture marks of the three holes in a triangle. But let's go on to the next one. Middle of August 2016, a body of a chupacabra was found on a road. Photographs were taken, which shows a horrific creature that was unidentified and scary. In that body of that creature, there were no fur. There was no fur, and it had long canine teeth with an armored tail consisting of spinal bones. So I want to talk on this last one because I've actually looked at the picture of this, and it's pretty easy. If you just go on the internet and look up chupacabra photos, go ahead and do that real quick. See if I can go ahead and describe the picture to you guys. I should have included it in the little guideline slash notes that I'm doing, but I didn't. This is in 2016. Either way, there's a lot of pictures of the chupacabra that are supposedly real. So when I'm looking at these pictures, I can kind of explain them away as being a dog, like with mange or a hairless dog, because that's all these pictures like really look like, to be honest. And I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, lots of the photos of the chupacabra on the internet right now can very easily be explained to just be hairless dogs. The only reason I put any sort of credibility into this last fun fact that a picture they took is I can't explain the spine tail. That's the only thing I can't really explain with it is a dog is not gonna have a spine tail. I can explain a hairless looking thing as a mange dog's because once a dog gets mange, they just look all types of fucked up. So I don't know what was going on with that. I really don't. But that's actually gonna do it for us. I'm sorry if this episode was a little shorter, y'all. To be honest, I was kind of having a moment where I wasn't sure what I wanted to put out there for this week's episode, but then I kind of thought to myself, you know what? I've been wanting to do Chupacabra since day one of the podcast. So I went ahead and I just sat down and I went ahead and did it. I know it doesn't go along the lines of our other episodes where it's just a bunch of encounters, but unfortunately, Reddit just wasn't really giving me too much, to be honest with y'all. But before we go, a few things. Our audience size is now at 193 audience members. So I just want to thank everyone for that. That is amazing. So thank you, thank you. Let me pull up which city has the most viewership right now. All right, so United States, and then we got Texas again, and we got Houston, Texas. So that's two episodes in a row now that Houston, Texas has been our most watched city in the Americas, well, in the world. So I just want to thank everyone in Houston, Texas for watching, listening. I appreciate that. Right now, like I said, we have 193 audience members now. My goal is to get us to 300 before the end of October. So, thank you guys again for that. I'm honestly surprised that so many people are interested in listening to my podcast. But, so something else I want to go ahead and put out there for you guys is you guys know about the Instagram, the Dark Cryptids Podcast Instagram I have going now. I now also have a Facebook page called the same thing, the Dark Cryptids Podcast. To be honest, if you're looking for that more personal feeling of the podcast, it's gonna be on the Facebook page. Instagram, I don't mind using it, but Instagram, I'm pretty much gonna be putting the bare minimum on there of, hey, new episode, and that's it. On Facebook page, I'm more willing to kind of put out what's going on with the podcast, putting polls out, and just stuff like that. So if you want the best experience and want to get the most out of this, I would suggest checking out the Facebook page, the Dark Cryptids Podcast. But thank you again, everyone, for listening. I appreciate everyone's support so much when it comes to this podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. If you have any comments, suggestions, or concerns, just either to message me on the Facebook page or an Instagram page. And keep in mind, I do still need some listener stories. I've only gotten a few so far, so I need a few more before I can make a whole episode out of it. But thank you everyone for listening, and y'all stay spooky until next time.